And many, and through you, many others could come to Jesus. Many people say our young people are actually the future of our church. But I think they're mistaken. Because I will say that our young people are actually our church. They are present these days. They're not afraid, my brothers and sisters, to share the gospel because they're honest with God. They're honest with themselves as well. I was given two different adapters here, so I want to see which one will work. But in the meantime, good morning, happy Sabbath. Have you been, church family? Blessed? Amen. Praise the Lord for that, because I think I've been more blessed than you. For those that were here last night, I think we were, it was a, such an amazing turnout. I mean, I know it was Friday, but there were a lot of people that came, and we praise the Lord for that. And I don't know if this is going to work. Well, maybe not. Not this one. We're probably going to have to switch. Yes, last night we were here. We have a few others that actually attended with our initiative that we have with our local church pastors in Area 2. And we are going to continue doing that today as we prepare ourselves, as we train ourselves, and to commit ourselves to the work of the Lord. So I would like, I know that announcements were already made, but as a pastor, I would like to encourage you in a way so that you could be participants for this initiative that we have launched. And it's an honor for our church to be able to hold or to host this initiative. This is actually the beginning of something big. We believe in a bigger God. Amen? And we know that He has something big for our lives. And we know He has something big also for our churches and our communities. So I would like to invite all of you to come or to stay with us this Sabbath. I know we have potluck, and right after potluck, you could actually fellowship. We could fellowship with one another. And then at around 4 o'clock, others are going to come and join us for this training on discipleship and community. Some of the local pastors are going to be here. So please be with us. Not too long ago, like a month ago, we actually participated in a 30 days of prayer. Remember, we did it with partners. And I know God has done amazing things through that. We had that opportunity that some of you were able to share during the Wednesday prayer meeting, how God actually is impacting your life, how God is actually convicting you in different ways. So we want to continue doing that because prayer should be our way of life. Amen? Prayer should be everything to us too. So our prayer and fasting ministry actually would like to invite all of you to continue praying. And that's why we're going to host actually a week of prayer beginning in March 25th. So mark your calendars. I believe you have received this card, okay? And the way we're doing this, we're actually doing it like through teleconference call. All right, so I know we live in the busy area. I know it is hard, especially with traffic and everything. It is hard for all of you to come, especially during weekdays. So that's why we want to make it everything accessible to you so that you don't miss out in this great opportunity that we could all have. So you have that card, so please keep that card with you. It tells you the date that we are having this, but at the same time, if you flip it on the back, you will have the number that you are to call, and also the PIN that you need to be able to connect with all others that are going to be participating in this. And we have set different times, okay? I know it is hard for some of you, and it is hard to gather everyone at the same time. So we have different times. We have a 6 o'clock, we have a 7, we have at 8, we have a 9. Some of you had already committed to be able to connect, so we're going to have a host in each of those hours that will guide you through and also to lead in prayers. Goal is for all of us to be able to connect with each other, but most connect with our Creator, with God. So please, I will encourage you to be able to participate in this week of prayer too. Also, our conference, Central California Conference, is actually inviting you to this wonderful symposium, That God We Worship. I know a lot of churches, believe it or not, even Seventh-day Adventist believers, they don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in the Godhead. So that's why, and we basically lost a church because of that. So, my brothers and sisters, it is my encouragement to you that, you know, if some of these beliefs that we have, that we treasure, that we value as a Seventh-day Adventist, it is my encouragement that you, you know, may continue studying in the Word of God, but at the same time, these are opportunities that we could actually experience growth in our spiritual walk with the Lord. So I know for some of you it might be difficult to actually go to this place. Actually, it's all the way in Denuva, California. But if you're not going to be able to, the conference is going to make, okay, these seminars available to you in their website. So you could be looking out for after the weekend of these presentations, we're going to have like people that are capable, or mostly that God has been using them in an amazing way through the study of the Word, scholars from Andrews University and some others that are going to be presenting. I know there has been a few of you that keep asking me, Pastor, because do you remember at the beginning when I came to this church, some of you knew that I had studied in Egypt, Jordan, Israel, in my days of in the seminary. And I know to some of you, I told you that, hey, one day we might be able to take a group over there. Well, that day has come. Okay? So I will invite you, for some of you that are able to, I'm taking my district, meaning San Jose Centro and Santa Clara Hispanic Church, I'm taking a group to experience, to follow the book of Exodus and the people of Israel from Egypt, Jordan, and Israel. Okay? Believe it or not, this will be a journey that the Israelite took in 40 days. We will take it in 12 days. How about that? So for some of you that might be interested in going, April 7, right after our service here, I will invite you to stay so that I could give you all that information and the details that you need if you want to go with us in this trip. And for those that are not going to be able to go because they can't fly or by any means, any other reasons why not, I'm also planning a trip to or a tour to our Adventist heritage. You know, how many of you know about our heritage? How many of you know our roots? Okay? Where Adventism all began. So I'm talking, as you, some of you know, I was the chaplain at the seminary, chaplain for the Hispanic Association of the seminary. So I'm working with that Andrews University so that we are able to take a group over there to Battle Creek, Michigan, to Massachusetts, New York, all that area where everything began, where Ellen White, all the pioneers are. So this is something that will also encourage you to plan, okay? And I normally do a 1 year to 2 year plan, you know, to plan all this so that all of you are able to go, okay? So keep this in mind. So I just want to encourage you, if you want to continue growing and learning more our ways and our path to heaven. All right, for today's message, for some of you that are visiting us, and I'm glad to see Doreen here and her husband. Thank you for being here with us again. You are part of this family too. Praise God. And I know we have a few others. We have some emphasis each month. So this month of March, emphasis is devotion. Do we need a devotion? Is my question to you. Do we need a devotion? I know last time I mentioned, do you devote yourself to your spouse? Do you devote yourself to your children? Do you devote yourself to your work? Do you devote yourself to the school? I think, you know, in many ways we do. But most importantly, the Bible encourages that we need to devote ourselves to whom? To God. And that was actually the message that we shared with you 2 weeks ago. But our message for today is God's Word, or a devotion to God's Word, prayer and service. Let us pray. Let's ask God to lead us in this study. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, once again for your love and for your mercy. Oh, Father, in this precious moment, we want to ask that you lead us through your word, through the study of your word. So allow the Holy Spirit to anoint us, Lord, so that we could be worthy recipients of your message. So that this message will be a message that will transform our life, but mostly, Father, it will be an encouragement, and it will be also a way for us to serve you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, a devotion to God's Word, prayer, and service. In our scripture for this morning, we find it in Romans chapter 2, verse 1, 12, verse 1, and we actually preached about this a couple weeks ago. Look at what it says, and I know I have it here it's on the screen. I don't know if you could see it well or not, but you could actually, we have Bibles right in front of you, so that you could actually grab those Bibles, and we could read what the Word of God says, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So, when we devote ourselves in God's Word, my brothers and sisters, we are also to commit ourselves in sacrifice. How? How do we do that? How can we do that? You know, it is in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, 105, where it says, "Your word is a lamp to my guide, that to guide me and a light for my path." So what is God's word to you? According to the Bible, the Word of God is everything to us. Amen? Is it everything? That's what the Word says. The Word is a lamp. So what is a lamp? What does a lamp do for you? What does this lamp, what does this light do for us? Does it make us see what we can't see? That's what the Word of God does for you. That's what the Word of God is all about. It is a lamp that guides our lives, but it is also a light for our path. But besides that, why do we need devotion to God's Word? Why do you think? Why do you think we need a devotion to God's Word? Look at what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So why then do we need God's Word? First thing is, because God's Word is what? Profitable for teaching. Romans chapter 15, 4. For whatever was written in early times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and that encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have what? Hope. So God's Word, my brothers and sisters, is profitable for teaching. It was written to guide us. It was written actually to instruct us, to tell us where to go, to tell us also what we need to do. But at the same time, God's Word is for reproof. How many of you like that? Do you like to be reproved? Many of us don't, right? But isn't that amazing that God is calling us to devote ourselves in His Word, because His Word is actually reproof for us? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15 says, the rod and reproof give what? Wisdom. But a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. So, you know, this is a good way to see reproof from the Lord. Reproof, according to the Scripture, is what? It's wisdom. And where does wisdom come from? Wisdom comes from God. So isn't that amazing then, to know that God's Word is for reproof? That's how we become smart. That's how we become intelligent. Not that intelligence that the world gives us, but that intelligence, the good things that comes from the Lord, that comes from the Bible. That's why, my brothers and sisters, if you want to find reproof, if you want to find if you're doing good or if you're doing bad, the only thing you need to do is to devote yourself in the reading of God's Word. How many of you do that? How many of you seek the Word of God for reproof? How many of you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God, because God still have children that devote themselves to His Word. Look at what Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 says. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is what? It's light. And reproofs, discipline, the way what? Of life. So the way of life is what? It's discipline. Do you know that you have to be disciplined in order for you to have a Christian life? Everything is all about discipline. Amen? Yes or no? If you want to study, you need to be disciplined about it, right? If you want to get married, You have to be disciplined, amen, to be a good spouse, just the way Jesus wants you to be. To be a parent, you have to be disciplined. To follow Jesus, you have to be disciplined. But mostly, to devote yourself in God's Word, you also ought to be what? Disciplined. We live in those days, my brothers and sisters, that it is very hard to find time for devotion in God's Word. We live in those days that it is hard to find time because we're so busy, right? And apart from being busy, we feel that there is no time. That we only have time to eat, to sleep, and to work. But we don't have time for anything else. And that's why most of us, we leave the Word of God on the side. And that's why most of us, we fail. And why we fail? Because we don't spend time in the Word of God. Proverbs 1:23 also said, "Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." But that only happens, my brothers and sisters, that will only happen if you spend time in the Word of God. If you spend time with God, there is no other way. If you want God, my brothers and sisters, to let you know about His will, to let you know what He wants for you, to let you know what His purpose for your life is, you need to spend time. You need to devote yourself in Scripture. You need to make time. But apart from that, the Scripture says that the Word of God is also for correction. Amen? Job chapter 5, verse 17. "Behold, how happy is the man whom God corrects." Are you happy when God corrects you? Are you happy when God tells you the truth about you? When God points to you your errors, are you happy? I hope so, my brothers and sisters. Because God loves you. God will correct you because He loves you. Because He cares for you. Because He wants the best for you. And that's why, my brothers and sisters, God's Word is for correction. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty God. That's what the Word of God says. God's Word is for correction. But apart from correction, reproof, God's Word is also for training in righteousness. Look at what Hebrews chapter 4 says. The Word of God is alive and active. Is that true? Is the Word of God alive? Is it active in your life? Is it active in the service that you do for God? Those are the kind of questions that we need to ask. When we devote ourselves in the Word of God, sharper from any double-edged sword. That's the Word of God, amen? It cuts all the way through to where soul and spirit meet, to where joints and marrow come together. It judges the desires and thoughts of the heart. That is what the Word of God is. It's all about. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." But it also said that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every what? Good work. But apart from that, my brothers and sisters, as Christians, God calls us not just to be devoted in the Word of God, but also devoted in what? In prayer. We are to commit ourselves, my brothers and sisters, in prayer. We are to pray every single day in our life. Look what Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and what else? And thankful. So this does not come to surprise in our life, my brothers and sisters. Prayer is essential to our lives. Prayer should be a mean that will thrive our life, not just to be in faith, but not just to also to commit ourselves in the Word of God, but also to commit ourselves in service. Amen? Prayer is very essential. A lot of you have experienced that, right? I have experienced that throughout my life. Prayer is a key to growth. Devote yourself to prayer, my brothers and sisters. And it is not surprising that this word, be devoted to, or persevere, is, or continue. And believe it or not, the Bible tells us a lot about this. It occurs, if I'm not mistaken, more than 6 times in the book of Acts, or mostly in the Gospels or in the New Testament. We are all to be called to devote ourselves in the Word of God and also to prayer. So devote yourself to prayer. Look at what Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says. They devoted themselves. Who devoted themselves? The apostles, like the Christians, right? The disciples. They devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and what else? And to prayer. So God is calling us to devote ourselves to prayer. Acts chapter 6, 4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Not just devoting yourself to the Word, but also devoting yourself to prayer. Romans chapter 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in what? In prayer. And we will find through the New Testament this call of devotion to devoting ourselves in the Word of God and also to prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And I prayed in the Spirit of all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Isn't that amazing, my brothers and sisters? That encouragement that we receive. That's why the most important thing is first to devote ourselves in the Word of God, and second to devote ourselves in prayer. Those are key elements, my brothers and sisters, if you want to persevere until the end. Those are key to our Christian life, to our Christian experience. Colossians chapter 4, 2 and 4, it says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, proclaim the mysteries of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I what? As I should. But my brothers and sisters, devoting ourselves to the Word of God, devoting ourselves to prayer, is not enough. Did you know that? It's not enough. For you to continue growing, for you to continue experiencing the love of God, you need something else. Guess what that is? Because God had also called us to devote ourselves to service. Look at what Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2 says. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favors and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. So my brothers and sisters, it's not enough devoting ourselves to the Word of God. It's not enough devoting ourselves in prayer. Those two things will lead us to an experience, and that experience will lead us to devote ourselves in service to God. And let me tell you, and I share this with you, that God does not need our help to preach the gospel. Did you hear that? Do you think God needs you to preach the gospel? Does he need you? For my understanding in the Word of God is that God is what? Powerful. Yes or no? For what I understand in the Word of God is that God could use his angels. God could use the animals. God could even use the stone to proclaim the gospel. So my brothers and sisters, God don't need us, but we need him. Amen? We need him. And that's the reason, my brothers and sisters, why God had entrusted us to fulfill the mission. That is why we are to commit ourselves, we are to devote ourselves in service, in the mission of God. So why should we participate in the work of the Lord? Look at what the servant of the Lord says. Ellen White, in the book, The Great Controversy, page 76. God could have reached his goal of saving sinners without our help. But in order that we may develop a character like Christ, we must participate in his work. How many of you say amen? Amen. We need to, my brothers and sisters, because we need to participate in his work in order for us to develop the character of Christ. That's why we need to participate in God's work. Send, my brothers and sisters, this figure, the character of God in us. Amen? We were created in his image, right? But sin took that away from us. So we have become bad and selfish. We have learned to pretend and to disguise. We live in appearances. Did you know that there are Christians that live double life? Did you know that even Seventh-day Adventists, there are some that come to the church with one face, but as soon as they leave, guess what? They transform themselves in something else. Did you know that? And that's why, my brothers and sisters, it is very vital for all of us to partake in the service of the Lord. It is vital to us to devote ourselves, not just in the Word of God or in prayer, but also in service. You know that participating in the Word of God will generate a heart? Do you believe that? It does, my brothers and sisters. Look at what Ellen White continues saying in The Great Controversy. The first impulse of the generated heart is to bring others also to whom? To the Savior, to him. So if your heart needs to be generated, my brothers and sisters, You need to devote yourself to bring others to Jesus. You need to be the light of the world. Amen? You need to be the salt. But how can you be? The only way, if you devote yourself in His service. This means that if a person does not feel the desire to bring others to Jesus, his heart was never regenerated. A true conversion need to happen, my brothers and sisters. And what is the characteristic of a truly converted person? Someone that devotes himself to Jesus. So she says a true conversion needs to happen. Christ Object Lessons, page 223. A truly converted person cannot live a useless and a sterile what? Life. So we are to devote ourselves to the service of God. True conversion generates in the Christian's heart the desire to seek another person and bring them to Jesus. If a person does not feel the desire to share the message with others, it is an evidence that he was not converted, because every true disciple is born in the kingdom of God as a missionary. Isn't that true? That is so truthful, my brothers and sisters. So if I were to ask you this morning, what is the secret of spiritual growth? What is it? What is the secret to spiritual growth? Look at what the servant of the Lord says. In Christian Service, page 127, the only way to grow in grace is to be carrying out with all interest precisely the work that Christ has asked us to do. That is the secret. That is the only way, my brothers and sisters. It is not enough to be born in the kingdom of God, basically. Life is growth. The day you stop growing, you basically die. The only way to grow in grace, and this expression denotes emphasis in service, yes? The only way that we could grow is we devote ourselves in service. What is the secret to strengthen the faith? What do you think that is? The secret to growth, we find out, is what? To work for God, right? So what do you think is the secret to strengthen the faith? What is it? Christian Service, page 73. It says, well-organized work must be done in the church, that its members may understand how to impart the light to others and thus strengthen their own faith and increase their knowledge. As they impart that which they have received from God, they will be confirmed in the faith. A working church is what? A living church. So everything leads us to what? To service. And what happens, my brothers and sisters, if you do not share your faith? What happens if you don't share your faith? What happens if you don't share what God had entrusted you? Look at what she says. There is danger for those who do little or nothing for Christ. The grace of God will not remain long in the soul of one who, having great privilege and opportunities, remain what? Silence. So do you realize why there are people who start the Christian career with extraordinary enthusiasm and soon return to their past life. Have you seen that? Maybe have you experienced that in your life? How enthusiastic you are! Because you have received the news of hope and salvation. But guess what happened when you don't take part of the work of God? Little by little, time by time, guess what? That enthusiasm is going to fade to the point that eventually you will abandon your faith. And it happens, believe it or not, it happens every day. People abandon their faith. Why? Because they forget about the secret. The secret of strengthening our faith is what? To be participant in the work of the Lord. She continues saying in Christian Service, page 13, Christians who are constantly growing in fervor, in zeal, and love, and never apostatize, they are those who are not engaged in self-sacrificing work. Those who have a sick experience and become exhausted by struggles, doubting, murmuring, sinning, and repenting until they lose all sense of what constitutes genuine religion. That's what happens, my brothers and sisters. Did you know that those that have actually lost the faith, they may come to church, but the only thing they do is what? Criticize. Yes. That's the only thing they do. They might think that they are true worshipers because they come to church. But if they're not participants of the work that God had entrusted us, they will lose. They will lose that love, the first love. They will lose that enthusiasm. They will lose, my brothers and sisters, their faith. And the only thing that they will have is the things that this world presents or offers. There is nothing else that they will have. The servant of God presents the missionary work as the secret to persevering. Amen? That's the only way, my brothers and sisters. If you want to persevere in your path, in your journey to heaven, you need to get involved in the work of God. You need to be, or to have a commitment, to have a devotion in God's service. That is the only way that you will persevere until the end. So what happens to those who only make a profession of piety but do not engage in the service of God? Look what she says. There are many who profess the name of Christ whose hearts do not strive in their service. They simply make a profession of piety, but by this very fact, they have extended their condemnation and have become more deceptive, satanic agents, and more successful in the ruin of souls. Often, my brothers and sisters, there are sincere people who are concerned about taking the church to a different level, or maybe a different behavior. There is nothing wrong with that, I could tell you that. But if you forget that witnessing is key in the Christian life, there is a terrible, terrible danger, my brothers and sisters, that you may become one of those agents that will bring people to ruin. This is so true, my brothers and sisters. Sometimes we forget our vision. Sometimes we leave that vision. We leave the vision. What is the mission of the church? We forget about it. And we concentrate in things that are not that relevant, that are not that important. And we forget, my brothers and sisters, that your purpose, that my purpose, that Jesus' purpose in our life, that God's purpose for you and for I is to make disciples for Jesus. Amen. That is our purpose. Our purpose is not to come to church and to see who is doing what. Our purpose is not to come to church and criticize the way things are being done here. Our purpose is not to condemn and to judge others of how they are. Our purpose is to love those, amen? Amen. To accept those. But mostly, my brothers and sisters, our purpose in life is to embrace ourselves, to devote ourselves in the Word of God, in prayer, and in service. What is the best way to prepare ourselves for Jesus' own return? What do you think is our best way? We are in the waiting time, but this period is not to be used in abstract devotion, waiting, watching, and exercising vigilance. Work must be what? Combined. So, my brothers and sisters, prayer and daily study of the Word of God are indispensable. They are needed, but they need to be accompanied with the devotion of working for God. Amen. Are you thrilled to hear this great news? So what should my decision be this morning? So having understood that I need to commit myself to the mission of the church, because that is the secret of spiritual growth, is your decision today, is your decision this morning to keep looking for people and bring them to Jesus? My brothers and sisters, we just learned this morning that devoting ourselves just to the Word of God and in prayer is not enough. The secret of growing, the secret of strengthening our faith is to partake in the mission of the Lord. Amen. You have a card that it was given to you. If you don't have it, I don't know if the deacons of Margarita still have some of those. You have a card. Our church had decided that in order for the church to fulfill God's mission, in order for the church to be able to carry on with God's mission, the only way is, and we realize that we all need to be involved. Amen? That's why our vision for this church is total member involvement. We need to be involved, my brothers and sisters. We need to be partakers. We need to be partners, because that's what God has called us to be, His partners in His mission. Amen? So take the card, my brothers and sisters. If you have feel that God has called you to a devotion, not just in the Word or spending time in reading the Word of God, but also in prayer. But if you have been impressed this morning that God has also called you so that you could make the commitment to also to partake in the mission, the only thing you need to do, my brothers and sisters, is flip the car on the other side of the car. All you have to do is list 5 people. 5. I'm pretty sure you have more. I'm pretty sure you have more people that you might be thinking that they need to be rich by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So list those 5 people, my brothers and sisters. But not just list them. Also intercede for them daily in prayer. Daily pray for those 5 people. Pray for them. Ask the Lord so that through the power of the Holy Spirit, they might come into a conviction that they might come to surrender their life to Jesus. So intercede for them daily in prayer. But not just that. Also demonstrate, show them kindness. Amen? But that's not enough. Also encourage them into Bible study. Encourage them to devote themselves in the Word of God, to devote themselves in prayer, and to devote themselves into service. Amen. Keep the car with you all the time. If that's your decision today, keep it with you. Put it in your Bible. Keep it in your pocket. Put it in your refrigerator. Put it in your car dashboard or whatever, whatever it may be, that you may see it all the time to remind you of that decision, to remind you that you have committed, that you have decided to devote yourself to the work of Jesus. That is the only way, my brothers and sisters, that we are going to be, or that we are going to have perseverance until the end. Did you know that there is no more time? If there is a need of people devoting themselves into service, this is the time. So I pray and I encourage you that we all together become a church, become the body of Jesus, become the children of the Lord who are going to remain devoted to the Word, to prayer, and to service. May God bless you. Let us all stand. We have a song that we all want to sing together. And at the end, we're going to commit ourselves to the Lord with our decision that we have made this morning in prayer.
Spirit.
Heavenly Father. Oh Lord, we thank you, Father, for this moment that we just had. Thank you, Father, for your word. Your word is so truthful. So Lord, I want to ask that may our hearts hunger for your word. May our lives, Lord, may be our lives devoted to prayer. It's only prayer, Lord, that connects us with you. But Father, we know that those are not the only things that we need in order for us to persevere until the end. We also need that devotion. We also need to be partners with you in the work, in the mission. So Father, you know each of our hearts. You know each of our desires. So Lord, if our desire is to seek you, if our desire is to spend and devote ourselves to you, Lord, please grant us that desire. Oh Lord, there are many people that need to hear the good news. There are many people up there that they don't have hope. There are many people, Lord, that they feel their life is in vain. But Lord, we know that their life is not in vain because Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. So Father, use us as an instrument to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Strengthen our faith, Lord. May our path, may our way of growing may be working side by side with you. Father, the time is near. The time when Jesus, our Lord and Savior, to come and to claim His people is near. We have a short period of time, Lord. So may our decision be this morning to proclaim the good news, to proclaim that Jesus is soon to return. May wherever you might lead us, Father, may wherever you want us to be the missionary, may you use us, Father, in a mighty way. But mostly, Father, those people that we are going to reach, those people to whom we are going to share the good news, may be convicted through the power of the Holy Spirit so that they may also partake in the devotion of the Word, the devotion in prayer, and also in service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.